Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Broadway Nation, the radio show that tells the extraordinary story of how immigrants, Jews, queers, African Americans, and other outcasts invented the Broadway musical and how they changed America in the process. I'm David Armstrong, and I call this episode It Takes a Woman, or The Women Who Invented Broadway. I've sometimes read or heard people say that Broadway has been a male-dominated industry. If this is true, you would have to acknowledge that the overwhelming majority of those males have come from somewhat marginalized groups, queers, Jews, and other disenfranchised immigrants. However, if we take a closer look, I think we will find that women have had a much more significant and consistent impact on the Broadway musical than has generally been reported or acknowledged. Even though they certainly were outnumbered by their male counterparts, women have still been a major force in the creation and development of the American musical theater from the very beginning right up to today. Now it's my great pleasure to again welcome my friend and colleague Albert Evans to the show to help me share with you the stories of the women who helped bring the musical fully to life. Hello, Albert.
Hi, David.
So glad you're with us today.
Glad to be here.
As far as I can tell, during the earliest years of the musical, there were only a few female songwriters and book writers.
Well, that's true, but luckily they were all wonderfully talented and prolific, even if they are seldom remembered today. Take, for example, Rita Johnson Young. Between 1910 and 1924, Rita Young wrote the book and lyrics for 11 musicals and operettas, including Victor Herbert's greatest success, Naughty Marietta. She had another huge success when she collaborated with the Hungarian Jewish immigrant composer Sigmund Romberg on the smash hit Maytime, which became the second longest running show of the teens.
Sweet mystery of life, at last I found thee. I know at last the secret of it all.
All the longing, seeking, striving, waiting, yearning, the burning hopes, the joy and idle tears that fall.
She wrote more than 500 songs, and listeners may be familiar with at least two of them that were incorporated into the 2002 Broadway musical Thoroughly Modern Millie, Ah, Sweet Mystery of Life, and I'm Falling in Love with Someone.
Yes, I'm falling in love with someone. Claim to see. I'm sure.
Another even more significant female pioneer was actress, playwright, librettist, producer, and director Dorothy Donnelly. She was born in New York in 1880 into a theatrical family. Her father was an Irish Catholic immigrant who forged a successful career as an actor and singer before eventually becoming the manager of the Grand Opera House. Dorothy herself was an acclaimed leading Broadway actress for about a dozen years just after the turn of the century, and then she turned her attention to playwriting. She would write the book and lyrics for 8 Broadway musicals or operettas, including several blockbuster hits.
Her first was Blossom Time, her operetta based on the life and music of Franz Schubert, which opened in 1921.
1921 is the same season as Shuffle Along.
Yes, and Blossom Time would run just as long.
Again, we have the two forms, musical comedy and operetta, side by side.
Of course, there would be endless road companies of Blossom Time and several Broadway revivals all the way up to 1943.
In 1924, Dorothy wrote the book, lyrics, and directed the musical Poppy, for which she created a career-defining role for W.C. Fields. His signature persona, the bogusly elegant con man, was established in that show, and it would make him one of the biggest stars on Broadway in the 1920s and in Hollywood in the 1930s. And that was all the invention of Dorothy.
Then it was her turn to collaborate with composer Sigmund Romberg when she created the book and lyrics for what would become the longest-running show of the 1920s, The Student Prince.
Drink, 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 two eyes that are bright as stars when they're shining on me.
Drink, drink, drink,
two lips that
are red and sweet as the fruit on the tree. Here's a hope that those bright eyes will shine lovingly, longingly.
Like Blossom Time, this massively popular operetta would tour for years, be revived on Broadway regularly into the 1940s, and continue to be produced nationwide into the 1980s.
Drink, drink, let the toast start. May young hearts never part.
Drink, drink, let every true lover salute his sweetheart. Let's drink.
Other female songwriters of the period were performers who wrote material for themselves and also for other performers. And one of the most significant is the singer, comedian, and actress Nora Bayes, who was one of the biggest stars of the era on a par with Jolson, Cantor, and Fanny Brice. She even had a theater named after her. Born as Rachel Goldberg to an Orthodox Jewish family, she adopted the name Nora Bayes to better fit the Irish songs that made up most of her repertoire. She contributed songs to 11 Broadway shows, including her most famous song, Shine on Harvest Moon, which she debuted with her co-writer and husband, Jack Norworth, in the Ziegfeld Follies of 1908. Here's what the Jewish Women's Archive had to say about her.
Known as a willful and temperamental star, Bayes relied on her own charisma and popularity as she resisted managerial control, ignored the details of legal contracts, and refused to follow the rules set by theater administrators. In these battles with male businessmen, and in her unconventional personal life, Bayes provides some flamboyant, indeed extreme, examples of the broad social changes happening in the United States in the early 20th century, namely, the questioning of traditional roles for women, as well as the challenges to male political and economic power that marked the women's movement of the time.
Unfortunately, there are no recordings of Nora Bayes performing her signature tune, but here, nearly 60 years later, is the great Rosemary Clooney demonstrating that song's timeless appeal.
Shine on, harvest moon, up in the sky. Eyes had no loving since January, February, June or July. Snow time ain't no time to stay outdoors and spoon. So shine on harvest moon for me and my guy.
This brings us to Dorothy Fields, the lyricist whose amazing 50-year career stretched from the vaudeville era to the age of rock. Using her gift for natural, direct language and a great ear for slang and contemporary speech, she wrote some of the best-known standards in the American songbook.
She was born into a show business family. Her father was Lou Fields of the team of Weber and Fields. After retiring from performing, Lou became one of Broadway's most successful producers. However, he did everything he could to keep his children out of show business.
But he made a big mistake when he assigned young Dorothy the task of organizing his scrapbooks. At first, she was interested only in reading his rave reviews, but very soon she became fascinated by what the critics had to say about what makes a show a hit, what material works and what material doesn't. She became obsessed with show business.
Not long after, a friend suggested that she try her hand at writing lyrics. And after some trial and error, she partnered with Irish-American composer Jimmy McHugh to provide material for a low-budget musical review. Well, Lou Fields attempted to put his foot down, telling her, "Ladies don't write lyrics." And she retorted, "I'm not a lady, I'm your daughter." The song was cut after the first night. But undaunted, they took it to producer Lou Leslie, who hired the team, possibly because they worked cheap, to provide the entire score for his Blackbirds of 1928. And the song was I Can't Give You Anything But Love.
Gee, I'd like to see you looking swell, baby. Diamond bracelets, Woolworth doesn't sell, baby. Until that lucky day, you know darn well, baby, I can't give you anything but love.
This breakthrough hit proved that women writers could compete with men on Broadway, and the early 1930s produced a bumper crop of them. You might call them the Daughters of Dorothy. Composer-lyricist Anne Rennell, originally Anne Rosenblatt, was a Radcliffe College-trained composer who wrote everything from lyrics to musical comedy tunes to sweeping motion picture scores. She served as music director for several Broadway shows and was romantically entwined with George Gershwin. Her most famous songs are Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf and that great jazz standard, Willow, Weep for Me.
Willow, weep for me. Willow, weep for me. Bend your branches green along the stream that runs to sea. Listen to my plea. Listen and willow, weep for me.
At the time, there was speculation that Gershwin had actually written that song, since its style was so similar to his blues-inflected compositions. But Anne Rennell was just very much in tune with Gershwin's style and methods, and simply wrote her own Gershwin-inspired melody.
Sad as I can be, hear me, willow, and weep for me.
Or perhaps Gershwin was influenced by her.
Perhaps. Kay Swift was another of Gershwin's lovers who found great success writing music. In fact, she was the very first woman to compose the first full score of a Broadway musical. The show was called Fine and Dandy, and the title song became a jazz standard.
Gee, it's all fine and dandy, sugar candy, when I've got you.
At one point in 1931, there were only two hit musicals running on Broadway. One was Gershwin's Girl Crazy, and the other was Kay Swift's Fine and Dandy. People who were in the know about the relationship called them the golden couple of Broadway.
But when you're handy, it's fine and dandy. But when you're gone, what can I do?
Kay was Gershwin's closest musical associate. Her handwritten notes and suggestions can be seen in his manuscript of Porgy and Bess. And after his untimely death, it was Kay who completed many of his unfinished works.
Meanwhile, Dorothy Fields and Jimmy McHugh continued producing an amazing string of hits, including On the Sunny Side of the Street. That song was from Lew Leslie's International Review, a Ziegfeld-like extravaganza, where it was introduced by another son of Russian Jewish immigrants who became a big Broadway star, song and dance man Harry Richmond.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet on the sunny side of the street. Why should you walk in the shade with those blues on parade? Don't be afraid. Be a rover and walk over. And if you haven't got a cent, you'll be as rich as Rockefeller, with gold dust at your feet on the sunny side of the street.
Then in the mid-1930s, like most successful songwriters, Dorothy was lured to Hollywood, where she began to write with other composers, including Jerome Kern. Most famously, they wrote the score for the Fred Astaire Ginger Rogers classic Swing Time, which included the Oscar-winning best song, The Way You Look Tonight. Dorothy Fields was now, without a doubt, one of the top lyricists in show business.
One of her biggest hits was called I Feel a Song Coming On. She later admitted that
the song just doesn't come on. I've always had to tease it out, squeeze it out, and anyone that tells you that a song is something that's an inspiration, I hate that word, it's hard slave labor. It's slave labor, and I love it.
After several more movies, she returned to New York and Broadway, where she teamed up with her brother, Herbert Fields, and together they wrote the books for three hit 1940s Cole Porter musicals, Let's Face It, Mexican Hayride, and Something for the Boys. This last one starring the biggest female star of the day and arguably the biggest Broadway star of all time, Ethel Merman. Ethel and Dorothy became great friends, and soon Dorothy came up with an idea for a new project that the two of them could work on together, a musical about the legendary sharpshooter Annie Oakley, starring Ethel Merman, with a book by Herbert and Dorothy, lyrics by Dorothy, and music by Jerome Kern. Then tragically, just as the production team was being assembled for what looked to be a surefire hit, Jerome Kern suffered a massive stroke and died.
The producers of the show were Rodgers and Hammerstein, who had become so successful producing their own shows that they had branched out to producing plays and musicals by other writers. They suggested the ideal replacement, Irving Berlin. But since Berlin always wrote his own lyrics, Dorothy relinquished that job and concentrated on the book. Annie Get Your Gun was a giant hit, one of the biggest ever, and it made Dorothy a very wealthy woman.
And now, little lady, if you'll kindly step up to the parapet, I'll give you a lesson in marksmanship.
You couldn't give me a lesson in long-distance spitting. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be, I can be greater. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I can shoot a partridge with a single cartridge.
I can get a sparrow with a bow and arrow.
I can live on bread and cheese.
And only on that?
Yes.
So can a rat.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
During that same decade, another female lyricist debuted on Broadway. She was half of the team of Betty Comden and Adolph Green. And together they wrote the script and or lyrics, usually both, for 17 Broadway musicals.
They began as nightclub performers, doing a witty act that featured lots of topical humor and song parodies. Their good friend, Leonard Bernstein, would often show up at their gigs and take over the piano playing himself. When Lenny was offered the opportunity to write a Broadway show about three sailors on shore leave, he insisted that Betty and Adolph be hired as writers and performers. The show was on the town, and it made all three of them famous at the tender age of 26.
New York, New York! It's a hell of a town!
In it, beneath the Broadway light.
But we hair on our chest to watch we like the rest of the nights.
Sight, sight, sight!
New York, New York, a hell of a town. The Bronx is up and the battery's down. The people ride in a hole in the ground. New York, New York, it's a hell of a town!
For the next six decades, Betty and Adolph met every morning and set to work with a freshness and enthusiasm that astonished their colleagues. Many people assumed they were married, and they were, just not to each other. They were in a category all their own, unchallenged as the longest-running act on Broadway.
Adolph Green attributed the team's success to Betty.
She was always unforgivably responsible, he told the New York Times. She is always on time for everything, while I am late for anything. I have lived for years in the shadow of an overwhelming suspicion that all our collaborations have, in reality, been solo efforts, written by Betty alone. Without her, I'm nothing. Betty insisted that she was not the secret to the team's triumphs. Everything is together, she said. We don't divide the work up. We develop a mental radar, bounce lines off one another, and added that she could not imagine life without the collaboration.
The musicals that Comden and Green created feature a series of strong female characters that, like Betty, are transgressive women who break the conventions of their day and can do it all.
Some girls make magazine covers. Some girls keep house on a dime. Some girls make wonderful lovers. But what a lucky find I'm. I'd make a magazine cover. I do keep house on a dime. I'd make a wonderful lover. I should be paid overtime, 'cause I can bake too. On top of the lot, my oven's the hottest you'll find. Yes, I can roast too. My chickens just ooze. My gravy will lose your mind. I'm a brand new note on a table d'hote, but just try me a la carte. With a single course, you could choke a horse, baby. You won't know where to start. Oh, I'm an hors d'oeuvre, a jelly preserve, not in the recipe book.
Now let's turn our attention to Bella Spiewak. She was born Bella Cohen in 1899 in Transylvania. Bella's parents were already divorced in 1902 when Bella and her mother emigrated to New York. Like so many of the inventors of Broadway, she grew up in the crowded tenements of the Lower East Side. But unlike many of them, she graduated from high school, and in 1913, she found a job as a reporter for a small newspaper. And in 1922, she married Sam Spiewak, a foreign correspondent for the New York World.
They spent a few years as news correspondents in Moscow before returning to the States and settling down just outside New York, where Sam wrote novels and Sam and Bella collaborated on plays. Their first Broadway success was Boy Meets Girl, a satire about a writing team looking for the secret to success. And in that play, they seem to have invented the now legendary plot formula, boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl. They went on to apply that formula to several Hollywood screenplays, mostly for B pictures.
In 1938, the Spiewaks wrote the libretto for Cole Porter's Leave It to Me, which introduced the song My Heart Belongs to Daddy, which was sung by newcomer Mary Martin.
The Spiewaks were well known as a turbulent couple and were not actually speaking to each other in early 1948 when they were approached to write the book for another Cole Porter show, Kiss Me, Kate. Bella initially began working on Kiss Me, Kate alone, but finally agreed to bring Sam on to help with the plot. Sam had always been the story partner of the team, while Bella was a genius with character and dialogue. Together, they completed the book, sometimes speaking through intermediaries, and despite, or perhaps because of their conflicts,
considering the subject matter,
right, they went on to win Tony Awards as Best Author and Best Musical.
In 1953, they wrote My Three Angels, a play that was very popular for many years and was adapted into the Humphrey Bogart film We're No Angels. But Kiss Me, Kate was by far their career high point.
However, Bella did leave another lasting legacy. While working as a publicist for the Girl Scouts, it was Bella who came up with the idea of raising revenue by selling cookies. So next time you enjoy a Thin Mint or a peanut butter tag-along, you can thank Bella Spiewak.
Mary Rogers was the talented daughter of Richard Rogers, and she was a composer in her own right. She made her Broadway debut in 1959 with Once Upon a Mattress, a fractured fairy tale starring young Carol Burnett.
I've always been shy. I confess that I'm shy. Can't you guess that this confident air is a mask that I wear 'cause I'm shy? And you may be sure, way down deep I'm demure. Though some people I know might deny it, at bottom I'm quiet and that it's wrong.
Mattress had a healthy run and is still very popular with student and community theater productions. And remarkably, it was produced and presented on television 3 different times.
Try, God knows I try, though I'm frightened and shy. And despite the impression I give, I confess that I'm living a lie, because I'm actually terribly timid and horribly shy.
After a couple of other not-so-successful on- and off-Broadway shows, Mary gave up on the theater to concentrate on writing children's fiction, which included the novel Freaky Friday. And also she focused on raising her children, one of whom is Adam Gettle, the composer-lyricist who wrote the Broadway musical Light in the Piazza. What an amazingly talented family.
One of the best lyricists to emerge in the 50s and 60s was Carolyn Lee. Her first Broadway job was contributing lyrics to the musical version of Peter Pan, starring Mary Martin. She then teamed up with jazz pianist Cy Coleman on a number of very sophisticated pop songs, Witchcraft, The Best Is Yet to Come, It Amazes Me, and many, many more. And they also collaborated on a number of moderately successful musicals, all of which produced big hit songs.
Hey, look, the old ball and be in here. Fresh out of the ball, mortgage up to here. But don't pass the plate, folks, don't pass the cup. I figure whenever you're down and out, the only way is up and out.
Unfortunately, Carolyn Lee was a strange, difficult woman. I don't mean difficult in the sense that every strong woman gets called a bitch. I mean she seems to have had some real challenges when it comes to working as part of a team. One mild example is a director cut one of her songs from a score. It just wasn't working, and everybody on the team acknowledged that, except for Lee. She marched out into the street, pulled a cop into the theater, and tried to have the director arrested.
Well, that sort of behavior derailed her career. After a while, no one wanted to work with her, which was a shame because she was incredibly talented. Her lyrics for Peter Pan enchanted the nation when that show became the first Broadway musical adapted for TV. When it was broadcast in 1955, it was watched by an unprecedented 65 million people.
High over the moon, higher I fly.
Meanwhile, Dorothy Fields continued writing in top form through the 1950s, including 2 big hits, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn and the 1959 Best Musical Tony Award winner, the musical murder mystery Redhead, which starred Gwen Verdon and was directed and choreographed by Bob Fosse.
Then, for the first time, Dorothy's career hit a lull. In 1965, she turned 60 and started to think of herself as retired against her will. One night at a cocktail party, composer Cy Coleman, who had been working with Carolyn Lee, asked Dorothy if she would like to collaborate with him on a new show. She grabbed his arm and whispered, "Thank God, I thought I was dead."
The show turned out to be Sweet Charity, a hard-edged, absolutely up-to-the-minute story of a dance hall girl looking for love. Dorothy was again working with top collaborators, Gwen Verdon, Bob Fosse, and Neil Simon. And Dorothy's lyrics astonished everyone. She had not lost her ear for contemporary speech. Phrase after hip phrase perfectly captured the zeitgeist of the swinging 60s.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender. Looking so refined, wouldn't you like
like to know what's going on in my mind. So let me get right to the point. I don't pop my cork for every guy I see. How about it, palsy? Yeah!
7 years later, Coleman and Fields teamed up for one final show, Seesaw. Seesaw got mixed reviews, but enjoyed a healthy run, and included some fantastic songs. Sadly, Coleman and Fields' partnership was cut short the next year by Dorothy's death at the age of 68. But what a career! For nearly a half century, from the 1920s to the 1970s, her lyrics, smart, conversational, and beautifully crafted, delighted the American public.
If they could see me now, that little gang of mine, I'm eating fancy chow and drinking fancy wine. I'd like those Stumbo bums to see for a fact the kind of top drawer, first-rate chums I attract. All I can say is, wowee, look at where I am. Tonight I landed, pow, right in a pot of jam. What a setup, holy cow. They'd never believe it if my friends could see me now.
On the next episode of Broadway Nation, we will continue our celebration of the amazing women who invented Broadway, including that cross-dressing dancer, singer, actress, director, and producer who broke all the rules. She was known as the mother of burlesque, Lydia Thompson. Broadway Nation is written and produced by me, David Armstrong. My co-host on this episode was the wonderful Albert Evans. Our recording technician is the indispensable Nick Tarabini. And special thanks to the entire team at the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 KVSH on beautiful Vashon Island, Washington.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.